It is the day of salvation, the acceptable time of grace that God has made available to us, and blessed is the man who redeems this time and receives the salvation that God has given us in Christ, and thus gets saved. As we heard in the opening word, the Lord, as the Good Shepherd, laid down his life for the sheep. Why? So that they too may have life and have it more abundantly. Not only life, but have it more abundantly. God wants to do this. It was his plan, and he will carry it out. The Lord has the fullness, and of his fullness have we received grace for grace. Even today, in this gathering, it is very important to us that church services do not just fill space and time, but that God can come into his own, in us and with us, that his will may be revealed and also done by grace. We all know how serious the times are, how everything has progressed. I believe that we are certainly going through these times with our eyes open and seeing that Bible prophecy is indeed being fulfilled before our very eyes. We are very grateful for this, because it really sets us apart from everyone else. Many can sing and rejoice, hop and jump, but to be informed by God, to have been brought up to date, to know the prophetic word in its divine meaning for this time, and to have it revealed to us, is indeed a special privilege. God says through the prophet Amos that he does nothing but reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. And especially when it concerns the church or Israel as God's people, God informs us of what he intends to do. For he already said to Abraham, "How can I keep secret from you what I intend to do?" We must become more grateful for what God has done, and also for the fact that he has enlightened us and given us an overview of his plan of salvation. This morning, I will translate the second part of the sermon, followed by a healing line. And I ask for your real patience. Sometimes, especially when a healing line follows, the transition is a little drawn out for the sake of the matter at hand, so that people can be called and then come forward. But please, do not be impatient. Accept it all from the Lord and be grateful that God has arranged it all this way, and that he was able to reveal himself in the same way as when he came to Abraham, or when our Lord walked here on earth in the flesh. The same ministry has indeed taken place in our generation. People came from all over the world, and God revealed himself to show them that he lives, that he is present, that he works in exactly the same way, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I may make one more remark, this is what distinguished Brother Branham from all other evangelists. Many were able to preach much more powerfully, but when it came to this direct revelation of this supernatural ministry that came from the connection with God, no one else had this ministry. Then all had to take their hats off and go their own way. God has ordained it this way, and we are grateful for that. Especially grateful that He has graciously given us insight and understanding of what He is doing now. And we are also grateful that we were able to remain sober, did not do anything extra, but allowed ourselves to be led into the Word by the Spirit and want to continue to be led by the Holy Spirit, who always leads according to the Word of God. Every revelation that comes from God comes through the Spirit on the basis of the Word of God. Anything that goes beyond the Word and is not found in it does not come from God. God is always and eternally bound to His Word. Therefore, we have the opportunity to examine whether something is from God or not. This morning, I would like to welcome everyone who is attending this service in the name of the Lord. And I would like to greet all those who may be listening to the broadcast, whether on video or cassette. We are deeply connected to all those who are now waiting for the coming of the Lord, who are now expecting God to bring His work to completion, and who want to witness the finishing. By grace, we are allowed to be part of this. I already mentioned it yesterday evening, but I would like to repeat it today for the sake of those who were not here. We have the youngest daughter of our beloved brother Branham in our midst, Sarah Branham. I don't have her married name at the moment. Corrado, yes, who has been living in Latin America since her wedding. Her husband is a preacher of the Word, and we are honored and feel privileged to have her here with us today and wish her God's blessing from the bottom of our hearts. If you knew why she is here, your tears would flow. She has not only come to be here, she has various kinds of needs on her heart. And God has seen that. God has seen it. And I believe He spoke to her in a dream vision, similar to what we witnessed at the time when Brother Branham prayed with a prayer line. So in this dream vision, she saw herself placed in a prayer line, and then it was her turn. And then she was told, "Go and look for Brother Frank." And then she asked, "Brother Frank in Germany?" And the answer was, "Yes, Brother Frank in Germany. She's here." And God has already answered her prayer and helped her. We cannot and will not go into details. God is a faithful, a true God, who has ways and means to help His own at the right time. Let us now sing together, "Only Believe," and then we will continue with the translation. Please relax and go along inwardly.
Glaube nur, glaube nur, alles ist möglich, oh, glaube nur, glaube nur. Glaube nun, glaube nun, alles ist möglich vom Glauben.
It's dig out what's in it. That's right. The first thing, that old rotten log of organization, throw it out of the channel. The channels of God's blessings is all stopped up tonight. Organization logs laying in them. Then another log's laying out there called no such a thing as the Holy Spirit. If you dig down, strike that log, throw it out. There's no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's just for the disciples only. Dig it out. The Holy Ghost is just for the apostles. Dr. Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, it's for you and for your children and them as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Great, fine Pentecostal brother told me not long ago, said, we don't need any more divine healing. I wouldn't even let it be practiced in my church. He said, we got fine doctors and things today takes the place of that. See what kind of an old log gets in there? What does it do? It stops the flow of the water. Elisha's vision showed him that out there in that wilderness, right where the fruits is dried up. Don't start a new organization, another rain or something. Just clean out the channels where the first rain can flow. The water's there. Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that smitten rock was in the wilderness. And it's still there tonight. Thank God. Jesus cleaned it out for him again at Calvary. But they come right back around, throw the logs back in again, blocked off all. You know what does throw a log in a channel? What does it? Well, then all kinds of dirt hits against this log and wash it up. And first thing you know, you got all the water backed up like the beavers do and make a dam. And you got nothing to go through it. That's right. We got too many beaver preachers today. Trying to dam all the water up and say, this is ours. This is just us here. This belongs to us. And what happens to it? It becomes stagnated. That's what's the matter with a lot of our organizations, trying to back up the water for your organization only. It's got stagnated. You know, stagnated water gets these little wiggle tails in it. Yeah. That's what's the matter with the church today, a little wiggle in here and wiggle out there. Everything, days of miracles, it passed. No such a thing as divine healing. Can't sit still 5 minutes in a meeting. Oh, my goodness. Stagnated water, beaver dams. Blew it out. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stain. Prophet said, get down there and dig all them logs out. Well, I'll tell you then, prophet, should we go back and have another mighty rushing wind? Nope. Shall we start another ladder rain? Nope. Nope. Just clean out the channel. That's all you have to do. We got the people. Just clean out the channel. The people's all right. Get the channels cleaned out so the Holy Spirit can come in. All your fanaticisms and isms and everything else that's in the church, clean the thing out. Yes. The rock's already smitten, the waters are fresh running, but our ecclesiastical systems has dammed up the streams. He said, clean those things out. You won't have to have another rushing wind. You won't hear either wind or see any rain. But yet there'll be water there. Oh, brother. Not a new system. Not a new system we need. What we need is clean out the system we got. Not make another assemblies of God, another oneness, but just clean out the oneness and assemblies we got. Get all the logs out of it, all the differences of fussing and stewing and things like that away from them. The waters will go to flowing back again. There'll be love, joy. Joy like a river just flowing all over everybody. Just in love with one another. We are not divided. All one body we. One in hope and doctrine, one in charity. That's it, see. That's the way we must do it. That's the idea. That's the vision of today. That was that prophet's vision. A true prophet's got the same vision today. Not a new organization, start up something and make another group and just fuss it out and organize it and get it just like the rest of it. You throw logs in it also. I first started out in the ministry. Many of them come to me and said, well, Brother Bram, you ought to start a little organization. I said, organization? That's what I'm against. I said, what we need is not an organization, but clean up the thing we have got. Yes. So I clean it up. We need a revival. Yes. What we need, a digging time. Dig, dig. The deeper you dig, the more water you're going to get. Yes. If you dig down and say, well, I'll just come out of the organization and look at the stuff he's still got in there. Malice, strife, everything else. Clean out the ditch till you go plumb down to solid rock. Yes. That's right. Get down to where the water can really come pouring out of the Emmanuel's veins. Wait till you get down to that place there. There'll be water just pouring like fountains from coming from. Dig out all these ditches. He said, get down here in these valleys. You fellows have been trying to live on a housetop up there all the time. Up on the mountains, shouting and jumping and freezing and frying and everything else. Said, well, don't do that. Get down here and dig out these ditches down low here and get some fresh water. That's what we need. Get down here and get a hold of the water. What we need tonight is the water of God. The vision absolutely interpreted God's will to that dying, perishing people. The vision tonight of the Lord to clean out this thing and start anew. Clean out, not start a new organization, start a revival in the organization. Start a new meeting, start letting God come in. Dig out all your old fault-finding and backbiting and stiff-necks and all these superstitions and unbelief. Pull the thing out. Well, I tell you, but Brother Branham, it would mean this. I don't care what it means. You'll either dig or die. All you Chicago Methodists, get digging. Chicago Baptists, get digging or perish. Chicago Pentecostals, get digging or perish. Dig out the things, throw it out. I tell you, thus saith the Lord, unless you dig out this corruption that's in there, you'll perish and your fruit and church will dry up and die. Dig it out. You won't hear another latter rain or another former rain or whatever it is, but there'll be water and peace like a river flowing through every heart. Yes, sir. You'll see signs and wonders and miracles and powers of God returning back into the church in a real flowing Pentecost, just coming down. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Spirit's message will start digging or start perishing. And there's already perishing. So they had to dig it out. Dig it out. Get cleaned up deeper. More you dig, the better off you'll be. The ecclesiastical systems has got all the channels all clogged up. Pull them old logs out. Days of miracles is past. We don't need divine healing today. Why, we need it more today than we ever had. You say we got the best doctors. That's right. Got the best medicine. Right. Got the best hospitals. Right. Got more sickness. Right. Cause got more unbelief. Right. That's exactly it. People just don't down. You know what she said now? The next morning, what they do? I can imagine them Hebrews out there saying, I heard the vision of the Lord. The prophet told the truth. I'm going to dig out this thing. Hit an old log there. What is this? 10% of my wages. Well, we've been having soup suppers to pay our preacher. Dig that log out of there. Get it out of there! You old God of 10! Dig her out. Throw it out on one side. Victory, hit another old log. What's that? Well, now, don't you get off on the deep end. Pull that thing out and throw it out! That's what's got you on the shallow end. Yes, sir. Throw the thing out. More deeper you dig, the more water you'll find. Just keep digging in the storehouse of God. Throwing the thing out till you get before you can fill it up with real waters of life. Then about daylight, they happen to notice the waters came and they didn't know where it come from. It was there all the time. They just clogged it up. There's power in the church. I can tell you, and I'll tell any minister, I can show you where God gave the church power to heal the sick, cast out devils, and all these things to do. And now you come put your finger on the scripture where Jesus said, now I take it back away from the church now. But then what's happened? What's the matter? You got it clogged up. Your own self-made idea of it has clogged it up. I can tell you where Jesus promised this last day and show you that these signs that you see done, that the Spirit of God would come into the church and sow visions and so forth like that as He's doing, and you try to disprove it one time and find out where you're at. The reason that these, you're all clogged up with too much ecclesiastical systems in you. It's all clogged up. Dig the thing out and throw it away and let the waters go to running. About time it begin to break day, oh brother, the waters is flowing freely. Coming from that smitten rock that still is out there in the wilderness. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Only thing you have to do is get all the old logs out of the way. Get all the old unbelief out of the way. Pick up that unbelief and throw it away. Say, well, now listen, Jesus promised it, and I don't care what anybody says. I believe it. That's it. Take the log and throw it out. Say, God promised it. I see it right here before me. I've always made fun of it. I thought it was wrong, but now I'm going to believe it. So I'm going to get this old log and throw it out. And as soon as you get that log out of the way, the sweet waters of peace of God are going to flow. Like a river will flow through you. You say, well, I always wondered if healing, here's what I find people healing. When God come here and prove Himself to be right here among you. You know what it is? you're reaching out, you're trying to apply faith with the orchid. Faith was applied by weeds. Hossif is just common weeds. You try to work up a faith, you can't work up a faith. Faith is so common, it's the same faith you go get a drink of water with. Same faith you drive your automobile with. Just as common. Hossif, you can find it growing on the ground, out of the cracks of the building, anywhere. And when they applied the blood with hossif, was applying faith. You apply faith with just apply the blood with just common thing, like weed faith. But you're trying to look all around and say, if I could just find an orchid to apply what I believe in Jesus, if I could just ever reach out and get a hold of an orchid. You don't need an orchid. Take the weeds that's right by you. Take the faith that you go home with. Take the faith that brought you here. Apply that same thing tonight and watch what will take place. Oh, brother, there will never be a doubt in your mind. If it's really the blood's applied with that kind of a faith, I don't care. You say Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. I'm throwing all the old logs of ecclesiasticalism and everything out of my system right here now. Lord God, by just ordinary faith that I believe you to be my Savior, you are my healer. Amen. Amen. Believe that right there and just feel peace like a river. The great gushes from that fountain that never runs dry. That fountain will just pour down when you get all the old logs out. Just keep digging. If you hit something in there, it makes you, if you've done something wrong, say, I owe so-and-so some money. Well, go pay it. Amen. You say, well, I can't pay him. Go tell him about it then. Amen. That's right. Don't beat around the bush about it. Go tell him. See? And then tell him, say, I'll make it right, brother. You just give me a little time. I'm fixing to straighten up right. Well, I'll tell you what, I made fun of them people called Pentecostal. Raise up and say, I'm sorry I done it. That's right. Say, Lord, you know my heart. People, you forgive me. And you'll feel that old log go out. Some more water go to pour in. Just go to rolling in. The first thing you'll say, I always thought them visions is of the devil. But I see now they're of God. All right, then that old log will go away. Then the waters will start pouring again. That's right. Just get everything out of the ditch. The water's there. You believe it?
Amen.
The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So he's still that smitten rock. He's still got the life, still got the water. He's got the healing power. You say, Brother Bram, will Jesus heal me? He's already got it. Just get the logs out of the way.
Amen.
Get all the trash and old buckets and cisterns. Get all that stuff out of the way. Old dead horses and ecclesiastical things just laying in your way. Throw a thing out of it. God ain't going to come in on what kind of stuff. It'll pollute the water. And the water ain't going to be polluted, so you just get your own pollution out of unbelief, and God will pour the water in. It's already there. The only thing you have to do is just move the cause. The cure is already performed. God's already healed you. You just have to get your unbelief out of the way. That's the vision. I say that in the name of the Lord, the same as Elisha said it that day. Thus saith the Lord. Get your unbelief out of the way. Watch what will take place. Get your systems out of the way. Watch what a revival will strike Chicago. Watch what a revival will strike the world if we get our systems out of the way. Get our own ideas out of the way and let the spirits already, the rocks already smitten. The only thing we have to do is just get the things out of the way and let it flow. You want to see people healed, you don't get healed yourself. Just get all the doubt out of the way and then see what takes place. It'll flow like a river. And then the next morning the enemy looked up and he looked across there, and when he did, it was water, but to the enemy, the way the sun was shining on it, it looked like blood. And it scared him. That's right. And he got some little silly thought worked up in his mind and trapped him right into it. What did the prophet say to him? He said, well, now this is a little thing to the Lord. If you all just get all the logs out of the way, I'll take care of the rest of it. If you get all the unbelief out of the way, God will take care of the rest of it. You know what happened? He said, each man pick you up a rock. And I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to let you possess it. And each man took a rock, and when he got over there where them old farm of wells was, he had a good rock testimony. Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. God, give me the Holy Ghost. I'm like Simon. I'm Peter now, a little stone. Amen. Yes. And everybody get his own rock and his hand a real testimony, but a real fiery testimony. When Jesus come before Peter said, your name is Simon, and from henceforth you shall be called Peter, which is little stone. Brother, he picked that up. He knew that was a Messiah. Away he went and he stopped up former wells with it. And what we need tonight is get that same kind of a testimony that, oh, that Jesus Christ lives and he'll stop up all these old former testimonies saying, the days of miracles is past. There's no such a thing. Them old broken cisterns anyhow. Wiggle tails in them. It'll stop them up. You throw that rock of testimony out there. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Get in the Spirit. You got to get in the Spirit. You go to a dance and start dancing. They start clapping their hands, doing all that dancing. You stand over there saying, wouldn't you be a dancer? Sure, yeah. You're sure in the Spirit of it. No, they hoop it up and dance and scream and holler. That's where you get a revival. It's when you really get in the Spirit of revival. Not hooping it up or something, but praying it down until there's a revival strikes your heart, until all the logs of ecclesiasticalism and all the logs of fanaticism and all the logs of systems and all the logs of unbelief flows out, and then the waters of God comes falling down upon you. There you are. Then your testimony then. You won't be smoking cigarettes behind the house and out here tonight jumping around the church and saying you got the Holy Ghost. You're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. People know that. When you get out here with all this kind of living and the women bobbing off their hair and paint your lips and say, I'm Pentecostal. Oh, you poor, miserable
Amen.
Some of you preachers or deacons in your church with four or five different wives and things like that say, I'm Pentecostal. The world's got better sense than that. They're smarter than that. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Get out here and bet on horse races and everything else and call yourself. And a lot of you would stay home and listen to a television before go to a prayer meeting and say, I'm Pentecostal. You're just named Pentecostal. You haven't got the experience of Pentecostal. The church is the first thing in your heart, brother. That's all in all is God, God. It's all you can see and know about is God. That's the group of so-called Pentecostal that says, oh, now that's just nonsense. Don't you believe that? See? But the vision of the Lord comes by the word of the Lord. Dig all that out. Dig all that unbelief out so the waters of life can flow in freely. Right. And we'll stop all this year saying the days of miracles is past. Let the church really get back. Say, the Pentecostals is nothing but just a bunch of make-believe. You get right down and dig down and you strike the rock bottom. Let a Pentecostal experience happen to you and watch what happens, brother. Yeah. There's nobody can lay a finger on your life. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're square, gun barrel straight, and you're a real gentleman. You're a real man of God. You're a real woman of God. When you're sealed by the Holy Ghost, the seal's on both sides of the paper. They can see you coming, see you going. They'll know that you look like, act like, talk like, and associate like, and you are a Christian when you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. God's ready to do it if we're ready to let Him do it. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Now, what's the next thing to do? Is the next thing, preacher, for you to come lay hands on me? That doesn't have nothing to do with it. That may spurn you up on a little something, but that ain't it. The thing to do, brother, is accept God's Word and say it's a truth, and I believe it. And I've got little chunks in here I'm throwing out right now my unbelief, and I'm settling it with God. I'm going to believe. Believe for your salvation. Now, I can't tell you about your salvation. You have to work that out yourself. But Christ still lives and reigns. He's here tonight. Do you believe that? What do you have to do? Get in the Spirit. And when you get the Spirit, then you see the vision. But as long as you say, well, bless God, I'm Methodist. I don't have to put up the studs. I'm Baptist. I'm Assemblies. I'm Oneness. All right, go ahead. You'll never see the vision. But you throw that thing aside and get into the vision, see Jesus coming in a church of perishing here, and get into the vision and dig right down. Brother, I'm telling you, something will happen to you then. You'll get in the Spirit of revival. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Let's all get in the Spirit then and believe it. Let's bow our heads while we ask Him to give us the vision. Heavenly Father, we're in a perishing land. We're in a perishing nation. We're in a perishing world and preaching to perishing people. And I'm just a man, and these other preachers are just man, but You're an imperishable God. I pray Thee tonight, Lord, that this message that I have spoken, and my nervous 6 months of going and wound up, I might not have said it just right, Lord. But if I didn't, You let the Holy Spirit just smooth it out and take all the wrinkles out. God, just like You did to Abraham, it said, we know He had His flusterations and he staggered and... But when the divine commentary of His life is written, it said He staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong, giving praise to God. So, Lord God, all my little staggerings and misspelt words and mispronounced and so forth, let the Holy Spirit just smooth it out and put a real divine commentary in every heart of this message tonight that we are living. And there still remains a servant of God. There still remains people who love God. And there is a God who's interested in Him. And there is a Savior that was smitten 2,000 years ago, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace upon Him, and with His stripes we were healed. The same Savior that said, the works that I do shall you also. God, may every old chunk be moved and every old rusty bucket and things be moved out of this way tonight. May the waters of life flow freely. God, turn me inside out and wash me and make me clean, Lord. And fill me with your Spirit just now. And fill these people out here with faith. That if there would be one down here who does not believe, that they might see and believe. Because we asked it in Jesus' name. And may then they, everyone, get in the Spirit. And we be all filled with the Spirit and all healed and saved tonight. For we asked it in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's name, and sinners plunged beneath that blood. Oh, dear, dear. Desire to dig now. We're digging, Father. Search me and try me and see if there's any unbelief in me, Lord. If there is, help me to get it out of the way right now. Help me to clean this, the channel out so the power of God can flow through. Help this audience just now, Lord. I pray for them. I pray that you'll let every channel be clean. Clean every church that's represented here, Lord. All of them. From one organization to another. Clean all the unbelief out, Lord. Clean all the systems of the world out of it. May the sweet fellowship of the Holy Ghost come into the channels of God. Flowing through here tonight, bringing fresh revelation. The word of life may go out tonight into every soul here. Now I know you're here, Lord, and they look to me as your seer, as your believer, for someone to make an example. And Father God, I pray that you'll help me tonight, that the Holy Spirit might have a free access into my soul and my heart, my life, my eyes, my being, not only to me but to every person here, that the ones who does not believe might see the Spirit working through believers and saying, if it, that water can flow from that smitten rock through them, it can through me too. Grant it, Father. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, I pray that you'll bless my brethren here behind me. These precious men, some of them is preaching the gospel and I was a sinner boy. God, grant tonight. Some of these men sitting here has been on the field a long time. Their warriors are scarred. Many times systems lead man sometimes, but down in their heart, Lord, they want to see the move of God. And then we find out that the devil don't do one thing, he'll do another, and then he'll mess up something or gum up something, and it makes him kind of pull back a little bit. Father, may every heart be opened up tonight to the real fountain. Now, God, I can speak, I'm just a man. I could, might make any kind of statement, might make it sound right, but still it wouldn't be you. Just a word from you will prove it, Lord. You said, if there be one among you who is a prophet or spiritual, I, the Lord, will speak to him, show him visions, speak to him in dreams. If what he says comes to pass, then hear him.
But if it don't come to pass, don't fear that man, because I'm not with him. But if it does, then you hear it. Now, Father God, I prove that, or tonight by the Scriptures and every night, that you're Christ, you're the Son of God, and you were smitten to take away our sins and unbelief, that your own life might flow through us. Now I tell the people that you're sitting at the right hand of the God tonight and high, up beyond or on the throne, a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Grant, Lord, that there will be many blood issues tonight stopped because of the unbelief flowing out. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. I don't believe we've had a prayer card since last Sunday afternoon, the best I remember. We haven't called a prayer line. But every night the Holy Spirit's went right out among the people. How many knows that to be true? 10, 15, so forth of a night, all out through there, people without your prayer cards. I feel kind of guilty not taking up some of them cards. And I know I'm just a little bit late, but I said last night, I was late again. I said, tomorrow night we'll try to give out some prayer cards. And Billy, I sent him over tonight and told him to give out some prayer cards. So he'd give them out. He told me to give out B1 to 50, 1 to 100, B1 to 100. All right? It got started around there. Where we started the other time? We started from 1 the other time, didn't we? Oh, yes, we had 2 nights. I'm sorry. Next time we started 1 to 25, and then we started from 85 to 100. Well, let's start in the middle then tonight. Let's start from 25 to 50. Let's say, how would that be? Who has B25? Raise up your hand. Some woman there, come right up here, lady. 25, 26. All right, lady, come up here. They're all over the building. Now, when the boy comes to get these cards, he comes and mixes them up before you. So it just give you a card wherever it's at, and we call them from somewhere. You see, nobody knows where these are going to start. We just start from one place to another. Now, where did 25 was it? 26, 25, 26. Who has 26? All right, 26 right here. 27. Who has prayer card number B27? B like in Boston, 27. All right, 28. Who has 28? I don't see the hand, please. 29. 30. 31. Who has 31? I wish you would just wait till I call your number so I can be sure. Because somebody's deaf or something. They say, Brother Branham, you write me a card. My number was called, but I was deaf and nobody told me. And they said you thought I was gone out. And I was crippled. I couldn't even raise my hand. And nobody took me up, see. And I didn't even get prayed for. You do get prayed for, honey child. You're prayed for every night. Jesus is right now interceding for you at the right hand of the Majesty. And he just wants you to believe him. All right, where was I at? 26, 21, 2, where was I? 31, 32, 32, all right, 33, 34, 34, I don't see it, 30, 34, prayer card number 34. If you get the card, somebody look around, maybe somebody's deaf, dumb, or can't get up. 34, I don't want to miss it. Maybe they stepped out. 34, 35, B35, all right, 34, has 34 come in yet? 34, B34, 35 is in there, 36, don't be afraid. If you sin, confess it and do it wrong, and it'll be covered by the blood when you get here. You know what happens when you get here if you got unconfessed sin, don't you? Well, don't take the card then. Pray up first, and then take the card. All right, let's start the prayer line. All right. I don't know how many you got there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 3's a witness. That'll be good enough. All right. How about you out there that doesn't have a prayer card? Let's see you raise up your hand. You're sick and want God to heal you. Anywhere in the building, I don't care where you are. What's 8? 36, 37, 38, 39. 40. There comes 2 out of that. 40 to 50. Another one? All right. Okay, let's start the prayer line now, if you will. Everybody real reverent. Everybody just as reverent as you can be now. Let's bow our heads just a moment. Only believe, brother, if you will. Oh, been a pretty stiff message tonight. We want the Spirit to come now.
Only believe.
Now while they're coming, I'd like to ask this. If Christ can prove Himself to be here, how many of you will believe Him with all your heart? You'll throw every chunk out of... Is there anybody that's never been in one of my meetings before? Raise up your hand. Never been in one of my meetings. It's a good thing they always come to say that. My brethren, I was just asking this group behind me. I get that group back there praying. Something's got to take place. Real genuine man of God. Now, you just have faith. Well, I guess the scene would start tonight. I want to say first to you people, each night it's been so many. At least, I don't believe we've had a night unless we've had at least 8 or 10 or 15 definite cases just all over the building. Is that right, all you people? See? Now to you newcomers. Now, I do not claim to be a divine healer. I don't believe there is such a person on earth. I believe that Jesus Christ is the healer. And He has already did everything for you that He could do. Because when He was smitten back there, He was that rock. Do you believe that? He was a pillar of fire. The I Am. And the only thing we have to do is just get the clogs out of the way. Don't you believe that? Well, then He's already healed every sick person here. Every person's already healed. Every sinner's already saved. But brother, you better accept it. And for your healing, just look here. We had a woman here the other night giving testimony. Well, they brought her up there at the tabernacle not long ago, and that woman was way out like this. She couldn't even walk with tumor. Man had to pack her and set her on the steps. I wasn't praying for the sick that night, and she grabbed me around by the trouser leg, I believe it was, going out. And it turned around with, "Thus saith the Lord." And that woman was here the night, just as flat and normal as she can be. And oh my, we don't try. I don't advertise it out and things and go on like that, because many times Jesus said, I think what's the matter today? We're making divine healing too much of a glamour. See, it's not a glamour. That's the reason I've told you, and I believe with all my heart, Chicago's seeing this their last time. See, I believe it. I believe the rest of the nation is too. I'm leaving. See? So I believe in you. Remember. You remember what He said. He told me what I've told you. I've never told you nothing in the name of the Lord but what happened just the way it said. I asked you that now. See? Well, then you believe me. Christ has already healed you. You must accept it. But now, what if He was standing here with this suit that He gave me? Wearing this suit. Now, if you'd come to Him and say, Lord, will You heal me? He'd say, throw the logs out of the way. I'm trying to press my way through to You. But your unbelief is what's stopping you. Now, here's to you newcomers. Here's a Bible scene. Jesus, in the fourth chapter of St. John, came to a woman at the well called a woman of Samaria. All of us are acquainted with that story. And how did He make Himself known to her as the Messiah? What did He do? He said, the woman said to Him, He said to the woman, bring me a drink. He's contacting her spirit. She said, the water well's deep and you have nothing to draw with. And she said, God talked about religion then. She won't talk about religion. We worship this mountain, you said, Jerusalem, because said we ought to be associating together because you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. And He said, woman, go get your husband and come here. She said, I don't have any husband. Said, you said right, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Now, what did the ministry say about that in that day? Now, when I say ministry, I'm not referring to these kind of ministers. Them's brothers heart and heart with me. I mean the ministry that makes fun of this and says there's nothing to it. Not the organizations that back me up. That's got system of God in it. But it's these that don't deny this thing's what I'm talking about. See? The denial of it. One says there's nothing to it. It's the devil. That's the same way they did back there. But that little old prostitute woman, She said, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." Now we know, we're taught, we know, that when the Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. Now how many know that's true? That's right. He said, "I'm he that speaks with you." And she ran into the city and said, told them, "Man, to come see a man who's told me the things that I've done." Isn't that the very Messiah? And the Bible said the whole city believed on Jesus. He never done it again. He just did it that one time. Because the woman, that prostitute woman, told them that Jesus told her that she was living with the wrong man. And the whole city believed that he was the Messiah because that was the sign of the Messiah. Now, if you think that theology is the sign of Messiah, and that's a greater sign than it is, Jesus said, "The works that I do, shall you do also." And you say preaching the gospel is a greater works. All right, then you come here and do the lesser works. Here's the platform. Help yourself. Come up here and go down through this prayer line. Let the Holy Spirit move out in the audience there over you. Let me see you do them works and then go preach the gospel. Then you do a greater works. Jesus could not preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it had not yet come. That's a greater works. It certainly is. The church is to preach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it was coming, but the church has it. It's saying we got it, and it's for you. See? So that was a greater. That is true. But the same works that he did, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Now here's a woman that's a stranger to me. We're strangers to one another. Now, so the audience can understand. Now watch the lady. "I do not know you. We are strangers to one another. This is our first time meeting. If that be so, raise up your hand." Now, here a man and a woman meets again. I have no more idea who that woman is or what she's there for, or no more than nothing. She's a total stranger. Now, I might stand here and say, like we have a lot of psychology, saying, "The Lord tells me somebody's got a back trouble." Sure, a lot of them out there's got back trouble. Got nerve trouble, sure, a big bunch of them. See, who is it? Where's it at? Where'd it come from? What caused it? What's going to happen to it? That's the next thing. See? That's the difference. If I bring this woman up here and say, "The Lord sent me to pray for the sick. Let me lay hands on you, anoint you with oil. Glory to God, you're going to be healed." She's got a right to believe that. That's true. But she could doubt it of my experience of whether I'm telling her the truth or not. She might doubt that. But when the Holy Spirit comes and speaks through my lips and tell her something she has been, that takes the kink out of it right there. See, because she knows I don't know her. We both raised our hands to God. We don't know one another. Now, there's the gospel. If that ain't the gospel Christ had, if that wasn't... Now you say, "Brother Bram, you say you're the Messiah?" Now if you think that, it shows you haven't got no spiritual discernment. See? How could I be a Messiah? I'm William Branham. Sinner saved by grace. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. But His Spirit is alive in us. The Holy Spirit. And some of you people wouldn't believe it. This thing that makes these people cry and shout and speak in tongues, that's the same Spirit. Paul said, "If one comes among you, y'all speak with tongues, they say you're crazy. But let one be a prophet and reveal the secrets of the heart, and then they'll fall down and say, 'God's with you.'" See, it's a Pentecostal gift, brother. It's just something been added to the church. How the Baptist and Methodist brought you, brother, don't speak in the tongues. They're doing me the same thing on this. So, but stand for the truth. God bless you. Let it go on. If I don't know you, and the Lord will tell me what you're there for, something you have done, something that you ought to do, or something, some sin that's in your life, or some blessing that's in, or something other that you know whether it's truth or not, you'll know whether that's right or not. Will you believe with all your heart then that it would be, it has to be some kind of a spiritual power because we don't know one another. Would you believe that it was the Messiah, not me, but be His Spirit speaking through me as He promised? Would all the church believe that with one accord? Raise up your hand. Thank you. Now you believe. A woman stands about 10, 12 feet from me. I'm just looking at her to talk to her because after preaching so forth like the prophet did down there, and I'm not a prophet, but as the prophet did down there, he'd been bawling that Jerome out in there, and so he just had to play and talk, and Jesus talked to the woman. But first he had to contact her spirit and told he got anointed. And that's what I'm waiting for now, to get the log of William Branham out of the way. My intellectuals, my spirit, my knowing, whatever, I get that all out of the way. So he can use my eyes, my lips to glorify himself before his people. Just to submit, like this here, that thing can't speak at all. It's a mute. Has to be something alive here speaking in it to make it speak. It can't speak itself, neither could I tell you anything about yourself. It takes something that's got eternal life, something that knows you, to speak about it. That's right. You believe that. One thing is your trouble, as if people can still hear my voice. I can see the woman, she's all nervous and tore up. She suffers with a nervous condition. Now that is right. It's exactly right. I don't know why, but every time I just say one thing, like I've always said, the people always say, I feel it, guessing. I'm not guessing it. You know I had no way of guessing it. Was that the truth? If that was the truth, what was said? Now, how many believe? Thank you. Now, if you, like Philip, when he told him where he was, something about him, he said, Rabbi, you're the Son of God, the King of Israel. He said, because you believe that, you'll see greater. Is that right? That's the same promise. Stand where you are. I don't know what I told you was wrong, but whatever it was the right disease that you had. Yeah, I see it now. Yeah. Nervous. Been that way for quite a while. Started with this menopause time. Besides that, you got a female trouble that you're bothered with. That is true. Then another thing, you got someone on your heart you're praying for. That's right. Not here. Troubled eyes. Mother. That's right. Now, do you believe?
Amen.
Send her that handkerchief that you haul, Holy Spirit's on you. Everything will be all right. God bless you. God bless you, sister. Now, do you believe with all your heart? You must have faith. Just trust God. Now, are you convinced that Jesus Christ... Now, please don't move around. I know it's getting late. You don't realize... See, what did the angel Lord say? If you get the people to believe you, and then when you, I say, sit still, and you don't do it, what does it do? It throws it right back in my face, Satan says, see, they don't believe you. Some of you do and some don't, but you hurt the others. Jesus put all of them out of the house one time. See, I'm trying to be both an evangelist and a seer, and you can't do that. I'll either go to the woods and be a seer and come in stomping with my message and go back out, or either lay it aside and God take it away from me and let me preach the gospel and be an evangelist. How do you do, sister? I don't know you. We're strangers to one another. Is that right? We're strangers to one another. So if the people will know that we're strangers, would you just raise up your hand that we're strangers? If the Holy Spirit will reveal to me what you're standing there for, will you believe me to be His prophet? No. The woman seems to have a good spirit, a believing spirit. Yes, sir? Here it comes. She suffers with a heart trouble. She's got a heart condition. You also have arthritis. You got a nervous condition. You got somebody on your heart you're praying for. If God will tell me who that somebody is or something about him, will you believe me to be his prophet? It's your child, a daughter, and she's not here. She lives way away from here. She's in California. And she's suffering with a nervous breakdown. Thus saith the Lord. Now you believe with all your heart? Then go and receive just as you have asked and believe. So will it be to you. Come, sir. I do not know you. One time our Lord... I believe the last two or three that's passed by has been women. And this is a man. I said what Jesus did to a woman when he met a woman. Now let me get somewhere in the scripture where he met a man. So women and man can see that there's no difference in him. When he met Peter, he met Simon Peter. His name was Simon then. He told him who he was. Told him about himself. Now, do you believe that God can tell me about you and about yourself and so forth like that? Would it make you believe? Just a moment. Something taking place. That lady standing right out there on that left-hand side, with a ruptured navel. Do you believe that God will make you well, sister? If you believe it with all your heart, you may have what you ask for. There's two men keep standing here. Somebody's touching a high priest. Your finger up your nose there. Putting that there. Man. Got heart dropsy. Skin cancer. Jesus heals you, brother. Your faith makes you. What did he touch? He's older than this man here. I could see there was a difference in him. Now, if God will tell me what your trouble is, do you believe me to be his servant? One thing, you got trouble in your side. It's a kind of a rupture, hernia in the side. That's right. Another thing, you've got a nervous condition which gives you a stomach trouble. Right? Now, you believe? All you man? I seem to be a good man. Let's take a little time with this man. Please be reverent and quiet. Got something on his heart. You're wanting something else for God to say. That's right, because I can tell that longing. Or it's a woman, a wife. She's had an operation, got a swelling from it. That's right. Got a daughter, too. That daughter suffered once with TB. She was healed by divine healing. Now she's got a nervous stomach. That is true. They're here tonight. I feel them there in a meeting. They're going to be well. You believe that God can tell me who you are? Would it help you? If he could tell Simon Peter who he was. You're from Arkansas. Your name is Mr. Blackwell. Go home, Jesus Christ. Your desires are met, brother. How do you do, lady? You are Ethiopian, I'm Anglo-Saxon. That's two different races of people. First time meeting in life, I suppose. If the Holy Spirit will reveal to me what your trouble, will you believe me to be his the prophet of the Holy Spirit? Just have faith, don't doubt. Believe. You have a great desire in your heart. You're really seeking for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's a great thing to seek for. If God knows the name of a man, he knows the name of a woman too. Don't you believe so? If I would tell you who you are by the Holy Spirit, would you believe that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit and God's going to give you, Mrs. Fitzpatrick? You go home. Jesus Christ is going to give you the baptism. The Bible said in the last days, Jesus said that the Spirit would come in the last days to do this, would be the same Spirit was on that human flesh that stood with his back to the tent in Abraham's day. Was that right? Here's the next person standing behind me. It's a woman. Can you hear me, lady? You behind me? Or is she nodding her head? I look at you. If the Lord will reveal to me what's your trouble looking this way, then you know it's the same angel of God, the same power that Jesus said would be here in the last days. Will all of you believe it? You got female trouble, ladies' trouble. Ladies' trouble, female trouble. Go home, Jesus Christ makes you well. Believe with all your heart. What if I told you he healed you sitting there in a chair with that heart trouble? Would you believe? And you start going on by like this, saying, thank you, Lord. Believe with all your heart. Now you're ready for an operation for that tumor, but do you believe that God's going to make you well? All right, just go on by and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, wouldn't you like to go eat your supper tonight? That old stomach trouble gone? You would? Go ahead and eat. You believe it, all you? Would you like to go to Calvary with me for a blood transfusion and get rid of the diabetes? Go do it. That lady sitting right back there with diabetes can do the same thing if you just believe it, sister. Go believe with all your heart. When I said stomach trouble a while ago, that was yours too, so you just go on, eat your supper, and be made well. All right? Great big strong-looking woman like that, yet afflicted with nerves. That's the hardest thing in the world. You're free now. Jesus Christ makes you well. Go believe with all your heart. Little lady, you believe that asthmatic condition is going to leave you. You're going to be all right and go home and be well. Just keep walking, saying, thank you, Lord. How many believes with all your heart? Every one of you believing with all your heart. What about you? You believe with all your heart? Just keep walking. Just keep praising God. Believing with all your heart. What about you? Do you believe with all your heart Christ will make you well? Just keep walking, saying, thank you, Lord. Believing with all your heart. You believe it, you're all right too? You ain't going to die of a heart attack. You go on, believe it. If you just believe with all your heart, you'll be all right. God bless you. Want me to tell you that, so it's all over now. Go believing with all your heart. How many believe with all your heart? How many has dug out all the unbelief now and thrown all the ecclesiastical chunks out, and you're ready to receive Christ? Lay your hands over on one another. This is the hour of your decision. Set still, everyone. See what I got through telling you? This ministry is a type of the Elijah that was taken up, and the Elisha had a double portion, a double portion. Jesus himself, who sent back the Spirit, said, these signs shall follow them that believe. See? I doubt whether that man and woman know each other or not. It's very doubtful. The woman has spoken tongues. Do you know the man that interpreted? If you do not, raise up your hand. If you do not know the man. The one that interpreted, if you don't know the woman, raise up your hand. Way back in the back. No, sir. Neither one of them know one another. And here they was, spoke just exactly right around with the message and bring it right around for a confirmation where Jesus is here, knows the secrets of the heart, speak down in another gift like that, a local gift, through a prophetic gift, through a local gift, through His Word. Here He is. Why, my, oh, my. Glory! Lay hands on one another. That's all you have to do. Touch if you're anointed. And the Holy Ghost will give it to you. Oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, saturate this building with your Spirit. Throw every chunk out, throw every old log out, and may the God of heaven fill with the Holy Ghost and set this church afire. Get in the spirit of this meeting and every one of you be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Do you believe it?
Hallelujah!
Are you in the spirit of receiving it?
Hallelujah!
This is it! Get everything out of the way!
If you believe it with all your heart, rise up on your feet and accept it in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Raise your hand.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, that was the second part. Today, as an exception, I would like to ask the singers to come forward and sing the song that Brother Branham sang. It is number 325. Please be so kind and come to the front. Let us, as Brother Branham said several times, simply remain in devotion, in worship, and in expectation that God will also do something in our midst. We are not just here to hear what God has done. He is not the I was. He is the I am. And if we go along inwardly and expect it for ourselves, then it shall happen. With God, there is no respect of persons, and He is the same today. To do the same thing. Let us truly and earnestly be before the Lord in prayer and expectation. Let us stand for the last stanza and be inwardly in prayer. Thou dying Lamb, thy precious blood never loses its power until it makes the redeemed perfectly pure. Let us pray. But before we pray, I would like to ask if there are any here who would like to dedicate their lives to the Lord. I believe we all would like to do so. There should be no one here who does not feel addressed, who does not know that they are meant. Beloved, under the sound of the word, we are all meant, everyone, from the first to the last. Let us today behold Jesus on the cross in faith and be healed at that very hour. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, God has indeed worked in the same way as when he came in the flesh and was able to tell people where they came from, who they were, what they had. He knew all the circumstances. The same thing has been repeated 100 times, experienced 1,000 times by those directly affected and those who listened, known 1,000,000 times in this generation. It was not the man he said who and what he was. It was the Lord, the same Spirit of God, precisely because it had to happen based on the promises that God had given. Now the Lord wants to reveal himself anew, wants to bless, wants to have the obstacles removed. Let us believe together for ourselves personally and for everyone, for truly only the obstacles stand in the way of the Lord. Once they are cleared away, his stream will pour forth like a mighty flood. We sing the chorus, "Just as I am."
So wie ich bin, so muss es sein. Nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein. O Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
While all heads are bowed, I would like to ask if anyone has a special request and would like to briefly raise their hand and then put it down again. There are some. God bless. Everywhere hands are raised. He sees it. He knows what it is about. We are here in his presence, and we must be helped so that others can be helped. He is our help. He is our refuge. Heavenly Father, we come to you with full awareness. We place ourselves under the covering of the blood of the Lamb. Dear Lamb of God, a sinner like me, faithful Lord, you came to save sinners. You came to seek the lost. Yes, you came to give us life and that we might have it more abundantly. Faithful Lord, you paid the price on Golgotha. You redeemed us through your precious and holy blood, cleansed, washed, without spot or wrinkle. We may come into your presence, O God. Faithful Lord, we believe this. We believe that your precious blood still speaks for us today. And as was mentioned in the sermon, one does not take a beautiful flower and dip it in blood to perform the sprinkling. Hyssop, a weed that grows everywhere. Beloved Lord, we are surrounded by so many things. Our whole life is surrounded by worthless things, but you give us grace to suddenly see the difference, for it is not what surrounds us that matters, but that it is dipped into the blood of the Lamb, so that divine power can be released. Beloved Lord, how faithful you are! O God, we feel your presence. You are here. We thank you for that. Make us still in you and reveal yourself to us. Save the lost, release the bound, heal the sick, baptize with spirit and fire. Beloved Lord, grant us grace that we may appear in your presence. And as your servant and prophet prayed, remove me from the way. Grant us grace that everything that stands in the way may be removed, so that your glory may be revealed. To you, the living God, we lay down all those who raised their hands, and also all those who did not. Faithful Lord, you know our common concern. Many questions remain unanswered, problems unsolved. Beloved Lord, come to our aid and help us as you have always helped us. To you, the living God, we give heartfelt thanks for such a sermon. We have heard and understood you. Help us to act accordingly. To you, the living God, we give praise and honor, now and forever. Amen.